We need to move on to a different segment. Let's see. We should talk to, oh, I don't know, the Million Dollar Man, Mr. Ted DiBiase. Hey! What's going on, big guy?
How you doing, Drew?
Well, I just had an emotional breakdown. How about you?
Yeah, I was hearing you explain that, and that was very touching.
Yeah, there was a girl who came on the show and was just sharing her journey with MS, and I kind of became friends with her over the years, and we, yeah, I mean, just a huge difference in her body. The last time she came in, she was wheeled into the studio in a wheelchair, and it just, you know, threw me for a loop. And anyway, just before our show, notified that she had died, just before I went to air, and her family was so kind and asked me to do the funeral. And anyway, this girl had a big, big impact on me. So since it's my last month of the show, I'm having people on who actually mean something to me. I don't know how your name got on this list.
Yeah, you sure you want me to stay on? Do you want me to hang up?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. So listen, where are you? What are you doing? Where are you on your way to? You're always doing something. Okay. Like, seriously, man, how many speaking gigs would you do in a year, for example?
Gosh, I mean, you do, and what, Drew, I've never actually gone back and counted them all up, but I mean, I would say conservatively 3 weekends out of every month.
Yeah.
And I'm still doing, I'm still doing speaking engagements. Actually, this particular trip is not about speaking engagements. This is more wrestling related. Made an appearance in the indie wrestling show we called last night, and then another one tonight to sign autographs, take pictures, and kiss babies. So,
you know, I got that wrong one year. I ended up taking babies and kissing pictures. It was just awkward.
And we're about 34 miles out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And then I'll get on a plane and go home tomorrow.
So I remember you and I mean, we first met on this television show that Glenn, what's his last name? I just forgot his name.
Glenn Allen.
Glenn Allen, that's right. I almost threw you under the bus. If you couldn't come up with his name, it would have been an awkward moment. Glenn Allen, great guy. He invited both of us to be part of this TV show, and it was a television show for men talking about sensitive stuff and real stuff and just, you know, dudes being dudes kind of thing. And I was the village idiot on that show, and I remember we all went out, three of us went out to grab something to eat afterwards one day, and we were at this little bar, restaurant-y thing or whatever, and this guy came up, you know, I always tell this story, I think almost every time you're on the show, but this guy comes up and goes, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt you guys, but has anyone ever told you you look like Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man? And you just sort of laughed a little bit, and you said, yeah, sometimes I hear that. And you just let it go. You're just like, boom, just dropped it right there. Yeah. And he didn't know if you were like him or not him. And it was pretty funny. Pretty funny. And I'm surprised. I don't know if this is not going to sound right, Ted, but I'm surprised people still recognize you.
So, you know what? So am I, Drew. I mean, it's really incredible. I mean, I'm 65 years old. I haven't had wrestling tights or boots on for like 25 years. Thank God.
You should have seen Tim across the board from me just wiped his forehead and went, phew. Yep, I'm glad we haven't seen that.
And but yeah, I was telling a story to somebody the other day about it. I was in England. And I was making a couple of appearances over there, as well as speaking in a couple of churches. I was going to be there a week, so I walked into this, their equivalent of a Walmart, and to get a few things. And a little 8-year-old boy is walking out with his grandmother, and as he passed by me, he said, Grandma, that's a $1 million man. I stopped at my tracks, and I went, no way. And turned around, and I said, son, you recognize me? He said, you're the $1 million man, aren't you? And I said, yes, but how do you know me? And the first thing he said was, video games. And then he said, the network meaning the WWE network, which is, it's all the shows that Vince McMahon airs available on the internet. And so they can go on the internet now, and if they're a fan, they can go back and watch all of the highlight reels, the matches from other, you know, like from other organizations that came before the WWF. It's pretty incredible. But I'm just, I'm amazed every day that, I mean, gosh, you know.
Well, it was, I mean, is it fair to say?
They're making action figures of me.
I can't.
You know, of course, it's called the Classic Series now.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait for them to make an action figure out of me. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Tim, my good buddy Tim here is dying to ask you something. Timmy?
Well, I was going to ask before about being recognized by little kid people or old people. Do you find like multi-generationals will come to you, not just some random people, but like dad watched, you know, kid watched, grandpa watched? Do you have that collective up to you as well?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, I got a lot of stories. I mean, younger people, and when I say younger, I mean people that are in their 30s now. I mean, you know, I have a son that's 41 years old, and the people will come and say, you know what, the one thing I always did with my dad, or the one thing that I always did with my grandfather or grandmother, was we would sit and watch wrestling together. It was like one of those things that, you know, that they did together. And I hear stories like that all the time, but that's pretty sad. And then the other thing that I hear all the time is, please don't be offended, Mr. DiBiase, but when I was a kid, I hated your guts. And I started laughing. I go, thank you very much. I'd be worried about it if you liked me. I was a bad guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, you see, you were the first one to teach me all the phrases. And the first phrase I learned was a heel. And that's what you were. That was the jerk of the wrestling scene.
That's right. I was the bad guy. I was the guy that, you know, and I was the kind of heel. There's the tough guy heels, and tough guy heels always eventually end up being good guys because everybody loves a tough guy. But I was the kind of heel. I was the bully. I was the guy who talked real big, and then when somebody got in my face, you know, I would cower down. You never get tired of seeing that guy get his butt whipped.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What was the low-down, dirtiest, nastiest, rottenest, dead gum thing you ever did? I'm starting to sound like Yosemite Sam here. Mm-hmm. As a heel, as the Million Dollar Man, what's the one move that everyone remembers you for just being a jerk?
Well, when we were beginning to promote the character of the Million Dollar Man, they had me do a number of things. Just like I would always offer people money and then find a way to, you know, swindle them out of it, you know. And so we were in Milwaukee, and I said, well, what's Milwaukee famous for? And somebody said, beer and basketball. So we can't do anything with beer. Why can't we do it at basketball? So the idea was to pick a kid out of the crowd and get him on this other platform and say, okay, can you dribble a basketball? And he does, you know, about 10 times. I said, if you can do that again, young man, and do it 15 times without missing, I'm going to give you $500. And I could tell by the looks of it, you and your family could really use the money. This is like a 5-year-old or maybe 6. And he was this little black boy. And so he starts dribbling the ball. And the crowd is counting with him. He gets to 14. And I stick my foot out and make the ball bounce off my foot. And I go, oh, that's too bad, kid. You know, you're going to have to learn a hard lesson at a very young age. When you don't get the job done, you don't get the money. He crocodile tears. And he ran to his mother and scared him. I mean, so everybody knows, this was rehearsed.
Yes.
It wasn't just, and they got the money.
Oh,
funniest thing about the story, that's the one everybody asks me about that. So much so that I said, you know, that was 27 years ago. That guy's a full-grown man. He's probably going to walk up to me someday and tap me on the shoulder, and I'm going to turn around. He'll be about 6'6" now, and he'll go, remember me? And it happened. Drew, it happened.
What?
I flew into Omaha, where I grew up when I was young, and I was doing a speaking engagement there. I was renting a car. And this guy taps me on the shoulder. I turn around and look at his chest. And he says, hey, Mr. DiBiase, I'm the manager of the car rental. Can I help you find a car? I said, sure, find something that'll fit both of us. And he said, I'd be happy to. And he said, by the way, he says, you remember that thing you did with the kid in the basketball? And it was just a look on his face. And I went, no. He said, it's great to see you again. I said, are you serious? He says, absolutely. He says, you're going to love this. He says, I actually went to college on a basketball scholarship.
Oh, that's great. Oh,
nice.
And I said, see what I did for you?
Yeah.
I inspired you.
Well done.
Any good? And he said, I got drafted by the Lakers, but I didn't make the last cut.
Yeah.
And I said, obviously, you're doing well for yourself. You know, I got his phone number, and I lost it. If I could find that guy, I know the WWE would do a story on him.
Yeah, totally.
Just a couple of years ago, talking about action figures, they came out with another new action figure, this old guy. And in the action figure, they had my $1 million belt, and they had the gold briefcase that the money was always supposed to be in, and a basketball. And as soon as I saw the basketball, I said, well, obviously, the WWE's been getting a lot of inquiries about it, too. So that was the nastiest, dirtiest thing I ever did.
That's good. That is so good. Again, we're chatting with the guest I want to chat with because it's my last month on the show, and I'm circling back to people who, you know, we've become pals over the years, and Ted DiBiase's on the line with us. He's known as the Million Dollar Man. He's in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. I've got a friend of mine in Scotland named Simon Fitzpatrick, and he is a sarcastic, like ground zero for sarcasm, okay? This guy doesn't give a holy grunt about anything. But when you came on my show the first time, he lost his mind and asked me if, could I think I could get an autographed picture from him? And you sent one over to him. And from that point on, he's liked me. I never thought he would ever like me, but he does now. So thank you, Ted. Thank you.
What else can I do to help you get friends, Drew?
Yeah, well, it's going to take more than $1 million, let me tell you. Listen, I want, first of all, are you okay for time? Because this is a bit spontaneous here. Are you okay for time?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
You know what I want to do with Ted DiBiase? Something that I've not done before. I want to show the dark side of you, okay?
Okay.
I want everyone to see the real dark side of Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. Ted, you are a Republican.
No!
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, it's funny. We've had some great conversations over the years. And I keep, like, when the button gets pushed, and I've done that. I push that play button, and dude, you lose your mind. And I'm part of me is sitting there, and I'm laughing. I'm listening to this, and I'm just dying. And part of me goes, this would be so great on radio. And then another part of me goes, ooh, maybe not. Maybe not.
Well, I am what I am, and I'm not gonna shy away from it.
Yeah,
I'm a conservative, and you know, we got people over here touting socialism as the way to go, and I go, gosh, you know, I said, if you want a little taste of socialism, go to jail. You got free meals and free food, and they give you free clothes and a roof over your head. Everything's free, but you're not free.
Oh, man, okay, watch this.
All those people that are walking from South America to our southern border. And crossing it every day like it's an open border, they're escaping socialism.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, not anyway. We're going to keep going here. This is good. So
okay.
Here,
okay.
Because I'm doing this on purpose, because sitting across the board from me is the biggest liberal tree hugging snowflake you've ever seen in your life.
Birkenstock sandal wearing.
Yeah, he doesn't even shave his legs. That's because they don't have a razor sharp enough to shave his Sasquatch
or
legs.
Big enough.
But and so watch this. I'm going to look at Tim's face. I'm going to watch Tim's face. And I'm going to ask
Should
you a
I
question.
Turn towards Facebook
yeah,
Live.
Yeah, turn towards
so
Facebook Live.
See.
So the stream. So watch Tim's face, everybody. Okay, you ready, Ted?
Yeah.
How do you feel about Donald Trump?
How do I feel about Trump?
Yeah.
I voted for him. and I vote for him again. You know what? He's like a good doctor with a very poor bedside manner.
Yep.
You know, he speaks like he is. I said, our economy right now is better than it's been in 20 years. The number of, people who need jobs. I mean, the unemployment rate for just about every ethnic group is lower now than it's ever been at any time in our history. That's some of the things that Trump has done. And if the Democrats would quit crying over losing the election and trying to, get him out of office and impeach him, just because they got beat, and actually do something, then maybe we get something done in the House and the Senate. Because nothing's really getting done. And, no. And the biggest problem we have right now is what's going on our southern border. That's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you something here. So we got a guy here who's running Ontario, our province, and he's a conservative, and he's brother to the old mayor, Rob Ford. His name is Doug Ford, and Doug Ford is conservative. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Tim and I have had this conversation more than once.
But we still talk.
If your family budget is $1.3 million in debt, then the family doesn't get to go to the zoo every week. The family doesn't get to go buy ice cream every week. The family doesn't get to watch cable TV. The family doesn't get cell phones. Oh, snowflakes. So I'm thinking that as much as people don't like Mr. Trump, is that not one of his main objectives to get your $4 trillion gazillion dollar debt down? Is that right?
Yes. Yes. I mean, if the debt's not addressed, then we're just, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when everything implodes.
Yeah.
And that definitely has to happen. But one of the things that he had to do, because under the previous administration, Obama nearly destroyed our military. And, it's kind of like, you have to be, it's kind of like if you're the king of the hill, there's always somebody that wants to knock you off. And, obviously I don't think that we have to be the guardians of the world, but oftentimes we end up doing it. And I said this a long time ago. I said, why is it we go and we help all these countries and we're not getting anything for it? Why is it that our trade laws are such that, we're getting the short end of the stick all the time? And now here comes along a guy that's a businessman who's actually doing something about it. I love this last thing. He's basically saying to Mexico, okay, we're gonna mail you with some tariffs. Maybe you'll get off your rear end and help us on your side of the border take care of this problem. Because this is what their problem is as ours, but they're just letting people go through.
I'm just looking at Tim. Tim, do you just want to take the pulse right now? Just take a reading of your pulse. Are you okay?
I can't count quick enough.
Are you okay there, buddy?
I can't count quick enough. You couldn't buy me a pacemaker, could you, million-dollar man, to help control my heart?
Well, I don't, we don't talk about it. We already say, look, growing up, the parents, the oldies would say things like, you don't talk about politics or religion at family reunions or at social settings. You just don't. So we decided to go ahead and talk about religion and see how many people we could tick off. So we decided to stay away from the politics for a couple of reasons. One, I've already tacked. I've tacked enough people off. And then the other reason is I just don't believe anything anybody says when there's an agenda driven. When the agenda is to get reelected, I'm not sure how to take anything. And until, here's my final saying this, okay? Sorry, Ted. Can I just say something, Ted DiBiase? Do you mind?
Oh, please, please.
Jeez. My final thing on this is, when you're that much in debt, vote in the jerk you don't like who's going to be tight with the purse strings until things get a heck of a lot better, and then vote in your tree huggers and your save the whalers and here everyone gets free money stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say about that.
I agree with that. Well, another big issue that's not just a political issue, but, a religious issue, and it's just a hot button right now because there's so many states in our nation now that are actually passing laws to get rid of abortion. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, but all the liberals and Democrats are screaming, a woman's got a right to her own body. And I would answer that. I said, you have a right to your own body. And as soon as you made the choice to climb in bed with someone, and you took the chance of getting pregnant, what you're saying is if you get pregnant is because I made a mistake or a misstep, then an unborn innocent child is going to suffer the consequences rather than me taking responsibility for a choice I already made. And that's how I look at that. So I'm absolutely 100% pro-life. Unless there's endangerment of the mother's life, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Hold on a second. I just got to check on Tim.
Tim, why are you on the floor? Tim, get off the floor.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
Oh, man. Listen, dude, I actually love you. You are and always have been just a great guy to me. We've had some great conversations, some good hangouts, and, you know, you've always given me the time of day. So thank you for being such a big part of the Drew Marshall Show over the last 16 years. And thanks for being a pal. That's what I got to say about that.
Hey, you know what, Drew? I've always liked you, always admired you because you don't avoid the tough questions. You don't want to, it's kind of like you can go to church all year. And the pastors not some of the times pastors won't talk about those issues that are hard to talk about. Mm-hmm. But you will, and you'll ask tough questions. And you know, those questions need to be asked from time to time. And you used to ask me a couple today.
Yep, I did. Well, anyway, I look forward to seeing you again and trying to wrap my arms around you.
Actually, in wrestling tights.
Oh, yeah. No more Tim Hortons donuts. That's the deal. In 3 or 4 months, and every time I hit the border, I call my wife and I go, well, I've got my first cup of Tim's, and she goes, and how many donuts?
Yeah, and how many donuts? That's the name of your new book, isn't it? And how many donuts? Oh, dude. All right, Ted.
They weren't free. I paid for them.
Oh, man. I appreciate you, and thank you for joining us one last time on the Drew Marshall Show. Thanks, Ted.
My pleasure, buddy. Take care.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ted DiBiase. What a good guy. I like him. All right, well, we had enough. I don't know what's going on near the end of the Drew Marshall Show forever time. Guests are, like, bailing.
Yeah, well.
What does that mean?
At least they bail before they start talking.
Yeah, that's true. Not like Chris Jericho.
Oh, speaking of wrestling.
The only guest to really ever bail on an interview.
That was awesome. You and I were just like, what just happened?
I asked him about his height.
Yeah.
He was offended.
He was.
Short man.
Didn't have his lifts on.